17, one of my favorite passages, my favorite chapters in the whole Bible is John 17. This is Jesus praying for the church, praying to the Father in great detail. We see so many amazing things about the relationship between the Father and the Son and how Jesus, you know, cares for his church. And so in John chapter 17, verse 23, this is one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible, I promise you. If you don't know this verse, you should know this verse. We all know John 3:16, but what about John 17:23? You probably don't know that one by heart. So I'll go ahead and read it. It says, now this is Jesus praying, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, but here it is, this is what I'm focusing on, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He's talking about you right there. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're born again. Jesus says, you have loved them. The Father has loved you as you have loved me. God the Father loves you as he loves Jesus. That's amazing. That should blow your mind. I mean, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, this is everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And he died on the cross and gave us eternal life through Christ. That's available to the world. But this is now talking to and about the church. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. See, I am concerned as I see the things happening in the world, that people's faith are shaken. And so us as Christians, we need to be firmly established in God's love for us. I mean, nothing should shake us if we really understand God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. And you know he loves Jesus, his only begotten son. From eternity past to eternity future, they have always been one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so what an amazing love, an invincible love is what I call it. You know, we talk about Superman's invincible, you know. It's that kind of love. There's nothing that can defeat that kind of love. This kind of love never, ever fails, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. An invincible love. Then this is the love that God has for you. So I heard what kind of spurred me to study on this love that God has for us, an amazing love, invincible love that God has for us, is I heard a tragic story this week of someone's child that was harmed in the worst kind of way. And it just spurred me to think the church needs to be firm in their understanding that God loves them. And God is a good God. No matter what happens to us, God is a good God. We see, you know, horrible, horrible tragedies happening in the world. You know, death. And then all the evils of things like war. There's always talk of war. People talking about World War III all the time lately. There's, of course, sexual exploitation and molestation and harming of children and rape and horrible, horrible, horrible things happening in the world. And when these things happen, they can even happen to a believer, Christians. You know, I want to make sure that we are strong in our foundation, that we understand some very fundamental things, that God loves us. That is so important, that God loves us as he loves Jesus, and God is good. He's not the author of the evil that we see in this world. The devil would try to say he's the one that's doing it, you know. And so we have to reconcile this idea that the devil says, well, you know, this is God who is love, who's all powerful. How can this be? How can these things happen in the earth? And so I'm going to try to tackle those tough questions. How can we reconcile this idea of an all-powerful God who is love, and yet we see horrible, horrible things happening in the world around us? Well, we first need to understand, when we're going through issues and trials and things like that as Christians, God loves you. He loves you as he loves Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's an amazing love. We need to be firmly established that God loves us no matter what we're going through, and that he is a good God. You know, the devil would try to produce lies to say, you know, there is no God. You know, people have lost their faith. They go through a tragedy and they say, well, there must not be a God. You know, they're not firmly established in the truth of God's word, which says God loves you and God is good. They say that, you know, or God, maybe he's passive. He's not really actively doing anything to help my situation. I've just experienced this, or my child has just been through this or that. And so God's just sitting back watching and not doing anything. But nothing could be farther from the truth. God is an active God working mightily to participate and save us from the ravages of sin and death. You know, I've seen people fall away from the faith because they lost a loved one, maybe a spouse or a child or a parent or those kinds of things, and they blame God. And that's completely wrong. These people are not firmly established in what the Bible says. They don't understand what's happening. They don't understand where it all started, which is back in that garden, of course, sin and what that consequence and the consequences are, and that we live in a world where Satan is literally called in the Bible the God of this world. He is the God of the evil. He's the God of the war that's happening in this world. There's a spiritual war. There's natural wars happening all the time, but there's a spiritual war. And so we've got to understand what's the origin, what's happening, what's God's part, what is God doing in your situation? What is happening here? I can't answer every question, why someone passed away or why this happened to you or your child or something like that. We might never know all the answers to all those questions on this side of heaven. But we have to be firm in our faith and not lose faith in understanding that God loves you and that he is a good God. And so we're going to go through several scriptures that just establish those simple points, because it's very important that we don't lose our faith. God is a good God and he is actively moving on our behalf, even when we don't feel it, when we don't understand what's happening. We can't understand all that's happening. There's things happening in the spirit that God is working. God is moving. God is turning things around. Last time I preached, just last week, I talked about resurrection, where there's evil, but God does the resurrection. God is a God of resurrection. He brings us out of evil and can turn anything into good. And Paul talks about he went through all kinds of craziness, and he says this was but a light affliction. What we go through is a light affliction compared to the glory that is going to be revealed for us in the future. There is horrible things that we go through. We are going through trials, tragedies, terrible things, but God is in us. If you're in Christ, God is with us. God loves you, and God is still a good God. John 10:10, Jesus came and told us this. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil does. He's the stealer. He's the thief. He's the one that's stealing and killing and destroying. That's the devil's job. The devil will try to make you think, oh, it's God's doing that. You know, and people, in other words, people take this God's in control a little bit too far, and basically say God's the one that's making all this happen. That's what the devil would have us to think. But no, God is sovereign. He's the Almighty. He is the Lord of all. But he did something. He gave you a free will. And with our free will, starting with Adam, we messed it all up. Right? We can't blame God. God, because he had to give us a free will. But that there was no such thing as a genuine love unless you have the freedom to choose it. A free will. It's not really love if you're forced to, you know. So without free will, there's no genuine love. And there's no really moral accountability. We have the free moral agency to choose good or choose evil. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault when we choose evil, right? That is the origin, I guess you could say, of where it all started. Is Adam had a free will, and he knowingly, he wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. He took of that fruit knowing what was going to happen. And here we are, thousands of years later, 6,000 years later approximately, with all the mess we see in the world today. So this idea of God's sovereignty, some people just take it way too far. And the devil would want us to blame God for the evils that happen in the world. So many people that don't know their Bibles, they're not established in the truth that God is a good God, are blaming God for stuff that he didn't do. Let me say it again. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not God. I, Jesus, am come. What did he say? That they might have life. This isn't just any life. This is eternal life. This is the life that only comes from heaven. Okay, this is eternal life. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, not the bad shepherd. He is the good God. Hallelujah. God is good. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he's not just good in word. I'm a good person. No, he gave his life. So he's not just saying the right words. You ever run into people like that? They'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. They sound like good people, but they don't follow through. There's no follow through. He is not only the God that says he's good, he laid down his life for us. The devil didn't lay down his life for you. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. So we need to understand, when we see the wicked and the evil in the world, that's the devil, okay? We just need to be real clear about that. But it's amazing to me how many people fall away from the faith because they just get it all mixed up and get this sovereignty of God thing just unbiblically out of proportion. It's just, you know, God is sovereign. That means he is the greatest, the highest in authority, the most high God. And ultimately, all things, he can even take the evil and the wicked and turn those things towards good. So in the end, his plan will still be accomplished, and it's a good plan. He can take evil that we see in the world and make all things good. All things will work together for those, you know, for good, for those that are in Christ. So there's a bigger plan in motion. And we got to remember that God can take any situation that we're going through and turn it for good. But understand, it is the devil who's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Acts 10:28, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. He does good. What did he do? He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? For God was with him. God is the one that's good. The devil is the one that's bad. It should be really simple. But again, I'm just so amazed that people lose their faith in something just that simple. If it's evil, it's the devil. Stealing, killing, destroying, that's the devil's business. It's not God's business. God literally sent his son to die. He's called the Savior. His name literally means Savior. Jesus means Savior. That's if you translate it. He's the one saving us from sin, from death, from the devil, from all the wicked that we see in this world. And ultimately, he's coming back again and will do all of that. We see right now we're going through this time where, the devil is the god of this world. He's the god of the evil. And so he's having his moment where basically mankind is given a choice. Do I want this evil guy or do I want Jesus? You have the choice. You have the free choice. Do you want Jesus or do you want to continue in your sin and the pleasures of this world and ultimately lose everything? Lose your soul. God is giving a time. When we see things not right in this world, when we see all the evil and all the injustice, that really is also an example of God's mercy and that he's giving us time to get right. Because at any time, he could just cut it off. His wrath could just fall at any moment and he'll just blow it all out of here. It'll all be gone. All the evil, all the wicked, all the demons, all the sin, all of it. Just he could do it anytime he wants. But what's he doing? He's giving man a chance to make a choice. Will you choose me or will you choose to live in sin and pleasure? Okay, so the Bible says he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. We're in this time of choice, and it's a short time, and it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter. We're down to like a sliver of time where, man, it's almost over. Now is the time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Today is that day because we're in such a short amount of time before he comes back again. Today is the day. So he's giving man a choice. He's long-suffering. So when we see evil, we see the injustices in the world, God is long-suffering, impatient, and merciful, even to the worst of sinners, giving them time. And that does allow the enemy also to do his thing. We understand that. But the thing is, God can turn, no matter how evil a person is, God can turn them completely around. They become a new creature. Jesus even died for Hitler. Think about that. Or Osama bin Laden, or the worst terrorists, or the worst people in the world. They had a chance to be saved. And God can turn that person around so that old person dies, and it doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what we did. Thank God. We are made clean, made new. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And so God changes us, makes us a whole new creation. And so because of God's power to change us, to resurrect us, anybody can change. No matter how evil this world is or how evil people are, God is still extending mercy. Every moment that they can breathe is a moment of mercy. Hallelujah. And that's why we're still seeing the evil. We think, well, God, do something now. This is so awful. He's storing up wrath. He's storing it up. Everything will be made right. Justice is absolutely coming. You need to understand that. Everything will be made right. Every single wrong, even down to the smallest thing, God's wrath will be poured out upon it. Now, it's already been poured out once on the cross, on his own son. His own son, he poured the wrath that we deserved on his own son. But there's coming another day, a day of wrath. We're talking about it in the book of Revelation. A day of wrath is also coming for those that did not repent, did not accept Jesus, and every wrong will be made right. Absolute justice is coming for everything you've been through, your loved ones have been through. Everything will be made right. We need to understand God is a good God, but he's also a just God, and he will fix things. Considering like the death of our loved ones, so many have fallen away because they believe God killed my grandma or God killed my spouse, and they shake their fist at God and get mad at God, and they just don't understand that death comes because of sin. It all started with Adam over there in the garden, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But also, let me give you the scripture here if I can find it. In Adam, it says, all die. 1 Corinthians 15. In Adam, all die. But even in Christ, all will be made alive. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So it all started with Adam and his sin. He's to blame, and we're to blame too, because we all sin. We can't get mad at Adam. We all did the same thing. But what about death? Death is an enemy. The Bible says death, in 1 Corinthians 15, it's the last enemy that will be defeated. It's the enemy of God. It's our enemy. It's the enemy of God. It's the enemy of the kingdom of God. So it's not of God. The Bible says death itself will be cast into the lake of fire. I don't know what that means. Maybe the spirit over death is cast in the lake of fire. Not sure what that means, but it is the enemy, and it's going to be cast into a lake of fire. And so God's intention was that we never die. When he created Adam and Eve, they were never going to die, ever, ever. But sin entered and death entered. But we understand God hates death. And we hate death. We just recoil from it. We hate it. We hate the idea of it. We have a fear of it. Just naturally, we just don't want to die. Even if we know we're going to heaven, we still don't want to die. We're in no rush to get there, right? We recoil from the idea of death because it's an enemy. It's the enemy of the kingdom of God. But understand, it is an enemy. It is of the devil. Hebrews 2:14 says this, talking about Jesus himself took part of the same, that through death, in other words, Jesus took part in death, Jesus died, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It is the devil that had the power of death. Again, where'd that come from? It came from sin. The wages of sin is death. And so the devil had the power of death. God never intended for us to die. And when his plan is complete, we're never going to die again. We're in a small bubble of time, 6,000 years roughly, 6,000 years where people can die. But after that, death will be gone forever. And in light of eternity past, 6,000 years is like nothing. It's just a moment. And how much shorter our own lifespan, our own lifetime. But we hate death. It's an enemy of God. And Satan had the power of death. But what did Jesus do? He came to overcome sin and death. He's the God of resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see that sin opened the door to every evil we see in this world. And of course, the devil is the god of this world. War and sexual sins and all these evil things. But it says in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect," talking about Jesus, "in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him," Jesus. "He shall bring forth justice." Jesus is coming with justice to fix every wrong we see in the earth. Everyone, I don't care what you've been through, Jesus sees it, Jesus cares. He cares about it more than you care about it. He cares for us with such a deep compassion. We need to know our God loves us when we're going through these horrible things, that we see loved ones going through things. Understand, God loves us. And he's a good God. He's, we see evil in the world. And some people say, well, you know, God's just watching. He's apparently not doing anything. He's a passive God. He's just watching. But that is not true. God sent Jesus, number one, to die on the cross, to deal with sin, to deal with death. And he won. He was victorious. That's why he was resurrected. He dealt with sin and death and gave us all power over the enemy so that nothing by any means shall hurt us. Spiritually speaking, we are alive forever and ever because we put our faith in Christ. So he sent Jesus. He sent us here to proclaim Jesus, to tell the good news. But also we can help those that are going through tragedies and suffering. And we can hug on them and let them know that God loves them and that we're praying for them and help them any way we can. So he sent Jesus. He sent us. And God's got, in the unseen realm, multitudes of angels working on our behalf. The Bible talks about thousands upon thousands of angels, and most scholars, and that's in Revelation, that worship at the throne, thousands upon thousands and multitudes of thousands of angels. So that would give the impression there's multiple millions or maybe even billions of angels, many of them working on the earth today on our behalf. There's a lot more going on than we see, but we need to understand God is not passive. God is dealing with what we're going through. There's a war. The Bible talks about a war in heaven. And that war is going to come to an end, and the devil will be cast out and cast down. But understand, there is a war, a spiritual war going on. There are things going on. Don't ever be deceived into thinking God's not doing anything. He's doing great and mighty things. And in the end, because he is the sovereign and almighty God, his plan and purpose will still be accomplished no matter what the devil throws at us. Hallelujah. He's a good God. His plan will be accomplished. All we see in the earth today is because of Adam's sin, his choice, but Jesus is the last Adam. When he comes, this thing is going to be over with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A kingdom of absolute peace, no death, no suffering, no more sin. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him." I hope that's you today. Do you love him? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Then your future is bright. Yes, we can be sorrowful when we go through things or our loved ones go through things, but we have hope. We have a hope that cannot be shaken. We have a hope that Christ is coming back again to resurrect us, to bring us with him. God has made a place for us, it says. Jesus says, "I've made a place for us." One translation says mansions. God has made a place for us, and he's coming back again to bring us home, to bring us wherever he is. We know he'll rule on earth. so, but the point is, he's going to bring us with him, and we'll be with him in a place with absolute peace. There's coming a day with no more sin, no more death, no more horrors that we see happening to the children in this world. We've been wrong, but it says in Psalm 9, 7, the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment for the people in uprightness. Again, it's so important to also understand justice is coming. I know it looks bad. I know it's horrendous what we see happening to people, or maybe we've been through things, but justice is coming. We need to hold fast to a good God that loves us even as he loved Christ himself, but also a justice is coming. Hallelujah. I don't know, but that just encourages me. Jesus came bringing the good news. He says, I have come. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, which means good news. That if we put our faith in him, we need never fear death because we will never die. Jesus literally said that. You put faith in me, you'll never die. Well, we go, well, yeah, I know my mom, she had faith in Jesus. She died. Jesus is talking spiritually here. We have to have a spiritual mind. We understand. And that's the one that's important. Physical death is just like you're taking off this. If I took off this jacket and put it on, I mean, I'm still here. I'm still me. Nothing's really changed. That's what happens with our body. We just take it off and lay it aside, but you're still you, and you'll be you forever and ever. Glory to God. So it's spiritual death that really matters. And he came and died for us on that cross so that we could have life everlasting if we put our faith in him. What a good God. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. Glory to God. What an amazing and good God we serve. So I'm just going to reiterate a few things and we'll close. God gave us a free will. And we took that will, mankind took that will and chose evil. But God knows what he's doing. When he gave us a free will, it gives us also the choice to choose good. It gives us a choice to love him. It gives us a choice to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord and be born again, washed clean. Glory to God. Again, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards humanity, not willing that any should perish. He came to die for all mankind, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's calling out, come, please come, forsake sin, forsake the pleasures of this world, come. Repent. Now believe in Jesus. Now surrender your entire life to Jesus Christ. He's calling on you to come. The days are very short. Now is the time. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Call on Jesus and let him save you, wash you, make you a whole new creation. And so he can spend eternity with you. He paid the ultimate price for that. Amen. Give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and mercy in Christ. We give you the praise for what you've done on that cross. Hallelujah. And for what you're continuing to do until Jesus returns. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap, won't you? Hallelujah. It's wonderful to have a church that you can come to and hear something directly from the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way that God meant it to be from the beginning. All the cultural and political stuff going on in many churches, that's not what it is. It's what's in this book. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we want to remind you to please remember to support us with your tithe and offering today, and so that we can pay the bills and do everything that we need to do. I did want to make an announcement. Some of you may already know if you were in the prior service, but Pastor Taylor has let me know that in the next several weeks, sometime before the end of the year, him and his family will be moving to Oklahoma. He's taken a position there, And Pastor Taylor has been with us about 10 years now. And those that knew him when he first got here, he has grown tremendously in his tenure here with us. And I want to say that in the 10 years, he has walked in absolute integrity, absolute professionalism in this ministry. And we have no animosity against this brother at all. He's got to do what's right for him and his family. And we have to respect that. The Lord has been dealing with him about it, and he's prayed about it. And once the Lord spoke to him, he doesn't have to speak to you and me. He spoke to him. Amen. And so we don't know exactly when they're going to be leaving. Sometime between now and the end of the year, they have some affairs that they need to settle here in town before they leave. But take these weeks that we have to love on this family. Let them know how much we appreciate them. They've fed into our lives over the course of 10 years. We fed off of who they are, both brother and sister Taylor, a man and woman of God. I would say, after knowing them for 10 years, they qualify, man and woman of God. And so make sure that you love on them in the next couple of weeks. And if you will stand to your feet, we will be dismissed. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, live holy. Every day, you are dismissed, and I do love you.